It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're talking Titans and Ravens. And I do want to go quickly to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the conversation we were having in the last segment about Lamar Jackson. Could this be a revenge game for the Ravens? Lamar says no. Do we buy that? Luke texts in and says, I have revenge games against my six-year-old in family Jenga games. He better want a revenge game in the NFL. So Luke brings the competitiveness to the Jenga games. I like that.
I mean, who doesn't want revenge in Jenga?
I mean, it's intense.
When you lose in Jenga, I mean, there's an absolute revenge factor as Joe almost falls down.
You okay over there? Did you get fired up?
I did?
Yeah.
I don't think I almost fell down.
It looked like a rough dismount.
Okay. It was like Jenga, man. You gotta, you know,
keep it stable. Some rough dismounts in Jenga as well.
You had a bad landing.
Speaking of Jenga, have you guys played the big Jenga?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Giant Jenga?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. I don't think I almost fell. I just sat down in the chair. What did I miss?
You almost missed the chair.
I do sit down hard.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was just a violent sitting, like Joe Rex Road was ready to get back in here for this segment.
Putting a lot of weight on that chair.
He was really anxious to talk about Jenga.
By the way,
how did Jenga come up, by the way, since I missed it?
It was on our text line. Luke texted in and said that I have revenge games against my six-year-old in family Jenga games. Lamar Jackson better want a revenge game in the NFL.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah. Sometimes those family board games can get, man, had some Pictionary that's gotten a little intense, man.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark in Clarksville text in, when I beat you all in Mario Kart, you will want revenge.
A lot of people think they're going to take you on Mario Kart.
I mean, I am setting a lot of people up for disappointment. I'm sorry to do it.
I'm telling the listeners, you are not beating Robbie Stanley in Mario Kart.
It's just not going to happen.
I've tried many times before. I'm adequate at Mario Kart.
I sat here in a local establishment where Mario Kart is available a couple years ago. Sat there for about 7 hours, and just people kept sitting down playing Mario Kart 64. I kept sitting there sipping on a little beer, beating people in Mario Kart. It was the greatest day of my life.
Are there people out there, like, you know, world-class Mario Kart players?
Oh, yeah.
So
there's probably a few out there that could give me a race. Could beat me. Maybe.
So you're that good.
Pretty good.
Robbie is a world-class Mario Kart player.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, you could possibly make money.
Would you watch me play Mario Kart on Twitch?
I wouldn't, but my kids might.
Hey.
Knowing them, they might be okay. All into that, man. Right. Some people might. If you're that good, apparently people will watch you.
Apparently so. Apparently that's a thing now. You just watch people play video games. It's a new world, Joe.
I mean, and apparently, if people watch you play video games, you can make a lot of money. So,
what are we doing?
I don't have any. I mean, unless Super Tecmo Bowl came back, but even that, I don't think I was quite world class. But if you're world class, I'm serious here, man.
Let's get after it. 150cc. Let's go. All right, let's go to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Which of the following Titans players on defense do you want to see more out of in the season's second half? And I realize some people listen to that question, they may say everyone on defense, but that's not your options here today. The four options are this: Kevin Byard, Malcolm Butler, Rashawn Evans, and Harold Landry. Almost 100 votes in so far. 61% going with Kevin Byard, 22% Rashawn Evans, 15% Harold Landry, and just 2% Malcolm Butler.
So far, that's sensible voting to me. That adds up. Because I think Byard and Evans are probably the two who stand out.
See, we were hesitant to put Butler in this poll because I think both of us feel like he's played pretty well for the most part. But you do have your people on Twitter that, like, every time Malcolm Butler gets burned, and he will get burned. That guy is awful. He gets burned all the time. Yeah. And it's refreshing to see so far just 2% of people, they want to see Malcolm Butler play better.
I mean, Butler had a bad game against Minnesota. I think he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he gives up plays sometimes. That's what happens in this league at that position. You get burned sometimes. But I'd say, actually, especially given all else that has gone on, he's been – I would call him one of the bright spots of this defense.
Yeah, I think so. And look, there's not a whole lot to choose from in terms of bright spots so far on this defense, but I would put Malcolm Butler in that discussion as well. And interestingly enough, a guy I wouldn't put in that discussion right now is Kevin Byard. And look, Kevin Byard is an all-pro safety. I mean, he's really, really good in this league. We all know that. We recognize that. But it just hasn't looked the same from Kevin Byard this year. He's missed some tackles in the running game, taken some bad angles. Hasn't made a big play on defense yet from an interception standpoint. It just hasn't looked the same from Kevin Byard. And we mentioned our poll question. Now 63% of people have voted for Kevin Byard to be the player on defense they want to see more out of in the second half of the season. We had Wesley Woodyard, former Titans linebacker, on with us yesterday here on the show and asked him about Kevin Byard. Here's what he had to say about the season from Kevin Byard thus far.
I really want to see KB get to back to that ball hawking safety mentality where, you know, he might be playing cover four on one half of the field, but he's taking over the other half. I challenge KB this all the time. Just take it to the next level. KB watches more film than anybody I've ever been around, and he's watching film in every meeting room. He's the one up there with his iPad going on. So he knows what to expect. So I think we're going to have to see that next step from KB as far as picking up what plays are going to come, you know, holding my disguise a little bit longer, going and ripping off these big interceptions off these quarterbacks because he's that scary. He has that great of a range to get from one side of the field to the next side of the field and still make plays. So, hey, sorry, KB, we're putting a lot of pressure on you, but that's what you're here for. That's what you want. That's those moments that you're looking for to become that best safety in the game, and he has to do that continuously week in and week out, and we need to see that.
So that was from Wesley Woodyard yesterday talking about Kevin Byard. And, Joe, you hear Woodyard talking about it there. We've heard you talk about it as well. The preparation, not a problem for Kevin Byard. I mean, the film study that he does and just how he puts himself in position to succeed, we know this from Kevin Byard. We know how good he's been since he's been here with the Titans, but there's no denying it hasn't been the same so far this year. Why do you think that's been the case? Is it more to do with Kevin Byard struggling, or is it more to do maybe with the pieces around him, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I can't believe that it's just a case of Kevin Byard has just fallen off as a player or fallen off in terms of his preparation. I mean, he's a father now and all that stuff, but that guy is very devoted, and I do think that there's a little bit of a difference for him this year. We've talked some about this. We'll talk more about this, but he has more responsibility with some of those guys, Woodyard be among them, Logan Ryan, Jarrell Casey. Moving on, that puts more on Byard as far as, you know, trying to lead this defense and lead this team. I mean, like Byard and Ryan Tannehill are sort of the two. Anytime they do something, who are the two people who speak? It's Byard and Tannehill, yep. Right? So he's really the spokesman, I think the main leader of the defense. But I have to think it's more than anything the fact that they're struggling at corner this year. They've had all kinds of different people in there and some people who just can't really play in this league anymore, and they're struggling to rush the passer, and then they're struggling up front to stop the run. And it sounds like I'm just making excuses for Kevin Byard, but I'll say this. He needs to make impactful plays. That's what he's always done. He's been, along with just consistently being a good player and just being good in coverage, good against the run, he's a guy who makes those big plays, right? He has made a lot of game-changing plays, you know, picking on a quarterback, reading something, breaking on it, getting a big pick, you know, forcing a fumble, and he just hasn't done that. And so it's still on him to do that, to figure out a way to make those plays. That's what it is in this league. People, the best players, they just make plays, and they make plays at big moments, and it hasn't happened really too much for him this year.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, with the Ravens dropping off some this season, could this be the game where Kevin Byard starts getting back to where he was? So what do you make of maybe this potentially being a bounce-back game for Kevin Byard?
It's a big game. I mean, it's a big game for, first of all, for all those guys. Obviously, when you play this team, I mean, your whole secondary is very much involved in stopping the run. And then, of course, you know, the Ravens obviously try to hit you over the top, and I think that they will try to hit the Titans over the top in this game. So it's a, you know, you get put in conflict in this game a lot as a safety. And this is a game where, you know, you figure the Titans, you think about like the Buffalo game a little bit. I think this is a game where the Titans obviously would love to be able to do to Lamar Jackson what they did to Josh Allen if they get him in some obvious passing situations. And that's where maybe you can break on something, bait somebody and get a turnover. And that would be huge for him this week.
He had two interceptions against the Ravens back in 2017.
Yeah.
And had a pick in the playoff game.
He did. And to that point, I mean, we've talked about not just from Kevin Byard, but the defense as a whole, how important turnovers are this year with this group, given how they've struggled to stop teams from just marching down the field. Kevin Byard doesn't have an interception yet this year. You think back 2017, he had 8. 2018, he had 4. Last year, he had 5 in the regular season. It's odd to be 9 games in and he doesn't have a single interception at this point.
Yeah, I know the one year was like Cleveland kept arm punting him the ball. Yeah. I think he had 3 in that game. But still, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember. It was the pick against the Ravens. That was off the tight end. Was that off Andrews? Yeah, but it was also kind of a bad throw. I mean, it was a right place, right time, but that happens. So then you catch the ball. I want to say this year he had a chance at one of those and couldn't quite come up with it. But, he hasn't been in position as much at all to make those plays. So why is that? I think it's because teams have just said, okay, if this is what you're going to give to us, then we'll take it down the field on you and we'll run the ball at you too. And he's made certainly some mistakes in terms of tackle angles and things like that too. So I think more than anything, it's a symptom of what the defense is, but also he's got to be one of the solutions.
When we come back, are the issues the Titans are facing defensively more to do with the talent on the field, or could there be some external factors at play as well? We'll discuss that on the other side. But first, make sure you're with us today. 102.5 The Game will be out at Fat Bottom Brewery in the Nations on 800 44th Avenue North from 4 to 6 p.m. to celebrate Nashville SC's first ever MLS Cup playoff match. Stop by as the Nashville SC merch truck will be there with official gear, including everyone in playoff shirts for just $34.99, plus jerseys, hoodies, scarves, and more. Nashville SC is in the MLS Cup playoffs, and this is the first ever playoff match in Nashville history. You can go to nashvillesc.com/merch truck for more information. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is it just a matter of guys not yet understanding where they need to be on a certain play call, or what specifically are you guys trying to work on to correct the communication?
I think that's something we're always going to be working towards, communication issues. I think, you know, the past couple of weeks, we've done a good job of actually getting off the field on third downs as far as like bettering our communication. But, you know, we've been put in a few third and shorts, and guys were able to convert some fourth downs on us. I think it was like 3 for 5 on fourth down. So that also adds to, you know, extending drives and things like that. I just feel like we play, like you said, we play good in spurts. We're just not consistent enough. But like you said, we can always better our communication. I think guys are getting a better understanding of the defense and what we're trying to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, every week is different. So, you know, we're going to have the Baltimore Ravens this week. So communication is definitely going to be key. And that's going to be probably one of the keys to us winning the game is communicating. We're going to have some explosive players out there in the Ravens offense.
That was Titan safety Kevin Byard on the importance of communication this week against the Ravens. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to have Titans cornerback Desmond King join us in the next segment. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, Walker Zimmerman, Nashville SC defender, join us at 7:45. Some hardware for Walker Zimmerman announced yesterday as well. So cool stuff there. Nice back-to-back guests for us, Desmond King and Walker Zimmerman.
Defenders back-to-back. And, you know, in this city, you got Roman Yossi and Walker Zimmerman, top defenders in their leagues in Nashville.
Absolutely. And you can also hear Mike Vrabel a little bit later today here on this station at 11 o'clock. Darren Donick and Chase. Mike Vrabel will be meeting with the media. Live press conferences here on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So, Joe, when you look at what Kevin Byard had to say yesterday in terms of the communication issues on defense, we've heard that theme come up a lot this year, lack of communication, coordination, whatever term you want to use to throw it out there. I feel like that's probably magnified a little bit more this week against a guy like Lamar Jackson, where not only do you have to worry about him beating you down the field with the ball, but you've also got to make sure that you're in the right lanes to keep him from just taking off and killing you on the ground as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different kind of game. And again, I'm sure you don't get to see all of practice, you know, but the fact that yesterday, usually you see DB drills and it's a lot, you know, it's like catching the ball, it's, you know, knock the ball out. There's a lot of different things they do. They come right out with the get off the cut block drill. You know, it's very clear. I mean, that's the kind of week that you are facing. It is a different kind of defensive assignment than any other game that you'll play this year.
It is. And I wonder, we're 9 weeks in now. I mean, you're 6-3 on the season, and we've heard a lot about coordination, communication, all these different things. And it sounds like from the Titans players' standpoint that that's been largely the issue at times this year with the defense. The question I have and what I wonder about this defense is it just simply that the personnel they have on the field isn't good enough, the pass rush isn't good enough, and that's why the defense has struggled the way it has? Is it because, you know, Dean Pease is gone and some external factors, the defensive coordinator that we spend a lot of time talking about this year? Is it a combination of both? The easy answer is I think it is probably some combination of both, but I wonder how much of this defense and the struggles that they're having is just simply the fact that the personnel they've put out there on the field just isn't up to snuff this year.
I think it's more of it. I think it's more of it than, you know, Byard is, as we've talked about, he's the, I think, primary leader of this defense, and it probably doesn't have enough. It's certainly a big step down from last year in that way. But I know this, too, in conversations with John Robinson, I mean, he's made this very clear. He's a big believer in leadership, in the intangibles, in a good locker room, all these things. So if John Robinson does kind of the moves that he did in the offseason, he's not going to do something and say, oh, wait, do we have enough leadership? You know, I mean, I think Byard is ready to ascend into what he is now as a leader. And, you know, they have younger guys who I think are going to be there, like Jeffrey Simmons, Rashawn Evans. Jan Brown, I think, is an emotional guy. He does the calls at inside linebacker. You know, he's also a guy out there. Malcolm Butler gives you a lot of, I think, juice out there as a guy who's just an intense competitor. So I just don't think that that's the thing, you know. I think they have enough of that. I think the problem is they don't have enough people who are playing good football. And maybe they don't have enough guys who can play good football, but I think there are some players who certainly have a track record that says they can play better than this. Jadeveon Clowney certainly is a guy you got to get more from. But Rashawn Evans, Byard, some guys who have done it and should be able to do more.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, I think the defense is going to get better. The real question is the special teams going to get better? What do we make of the confidence in the defense?
Well, I was going to say, if you are more confident than some based on all the weeks we've seen of the defense. Now, you know, I think a lot of when we talk about the defense getting better, what do we talk about? You know, when they get a Dory back, you know, it'll all fit. Well, when the heck is that happening?
A Dory seems like a mythical creature at this point.
Yeah. A Dory's like Gruden to Vols fans at this point.
Just out there in the distance somewhere. Yeah.
So just dismiss that right now and, you know, what you have on defense, you know, can that get better? I mean, I do think a lot of it is if you just stop getting victimized in the run game too often, that there's one thing that you should be able to figure out more with the people you have. And then I do think that from a coaching coordination perspective, it just looks some weeks like they're not adjusting and that they are not taking advantage of their personnel, or maybe I guess flip it around, they're letting their personnel issues hurt them more than they should.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark texts in, if the Titans lose the next two games, are they doomed for another 9-7 season, and will they make the playoffs? I'll be honest with you, Joe. If they go 9-7 this year, I'm not sure that's going to get them in.
I'm not either.
I was listening to Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. You could make an argument there's a case 10-6 won't get you in this year based on how good the AFC has been so far. You look at the Browns' schedule right now. We talk about the Ravens game and the Colts game. That Browns game, massive for the Titans coming up because they get to go up against the NFC East. That's a big deal. The Ravens, they're going up against the NFC East. Those are some wins that you can probably bank for those teams. So it is interesting. 9-7, I'm not sure. If the Titans get there this year and it's 9-7, I'm not sure that's good enough to get in the playoffs, even with the extra spot.
What a lottery win to get the NFC East, you know? Mm. I mean, just I'm trying to think. When the AFC South got that was 2 years ago. They were pretty bad.
They weren't this bad.
But the Titans, they went and won. The Dallas was pretty good, and they won that Monday night game. They beat the Giants. They beat
Philly. In that great game
here.
They went
4-0. So they went 4-0 against a much better NFC East. But now it's like, it's like freebies. So, I mean, look, I still have my doubts that 10-6 won't get you in when it's all said and done because there's just crazy things that happen in this league. You got an extra spot. But I would not feel great about 9-7.
No.
And, yes, to answer the question there, if you lose the next two, it's certainly on the table. You still have the Packers ahead of you. The Browns game. We could end up being talking a couple weeks about, like, here's the season.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're the Titans, you hope not. You hope that you can flip it around and actually be back in a position of strength in the AFC South, which is certainly still right there for them to take.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Titans cornerback Desmond King, the newcomer on the Titans defense. We're looking forward to getting in to that conversation with him. But first, Titans fans, check out Corner Pub. It's the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ and Harry's draft beers, plus Happ and Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. We'll be right back with Desmond King, Titans cornerback, here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans cornerback Desmond King scheduled to join us here in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll also have, in the next segment, Walker Zimmerman from Nashville SC. A big playoff game coming up on Friday for Nashville SC. Walker Zimmerman named Defender of the Year in the MLS yesterday. So a big honor for Walker Zimmerman. He's come close before. He's been the runner-up. I think he finished in fourth 1 year as well, but got the job done. Finishes in first place this time. Big acquisition for Nashville SC, so looking forward to that. What have you made of Desmond King through the first couple of games here in Nashville? A tough circumstance. You come in, you got to immediately get plugged in against Chicago, then a short week against Indy. So not a whole lot of time here yet so far for Desmond King. What have you made through the first two games?
Well, certainly so impressive, I thought, in that first week. And they, again, whenever Mike Vrabel goes out of his way to talk about an individual, that means something. And he talked a lot after that win over Chicago. Yes, he had the touchdown. He brought the touchdown back. That was big. But the fact that he wasn't able to be in the building, had to do it all by Zoom, certainly there are a lot of things that translate in the NFL at the corner position, but not everything. And there's a lot of calls and switches out there on the field. So looked like he really impressed his teammates and coaches with how he – adjusted, and I thought he played well in that game. And, you know, in the last game, I can't think of anything really like good or bad from that game.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, it was just the dink, 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 you know, from Phillip Rivers and those guys. And a frustrating game to watch, certainly if you're a Titans fan, but even like just someone watching that as a football fan, had to be like, man, try something different against those guys, you know?
But. Yeah, and it's interesting. And Titans fans, like, they keep waiting for the trifecta back there at cornerback with Butler, Adoree, and Desmond King in there to see what it could look like. And it's just, I think we're going to continue to play that waiting game. Adoree Jackson not at practice yesterday. And it looks like, to your point earlier in the show, Joe, maybe a setback has taken place with Adoree.
Yeah, not enough for them to shut it down for the right. year, but that's what that's what it would have to be if he wasn't on the active roster. So, hey, look, he may be out there today, and it may be that this week they're doing the same plan with him as they do every week now with Clowney and with Dennis Kelly and some of these other guys. That's possible, but it's been a minute since he's been out there.
Did you think that Clowney's best game with the Titans was the Indy game? Like, I thought, especially early in the game, even though we talked about the knee injury all week and how much that had been hampering him, I thought early in the game he made three or four plays where he's pretty impactful. He got in the backfield, broke a play up on fourth down. Like, I thought he played well to begin that game. Now, again, at some point you've got to finish and get back there and sack the quarterback. But I thought early on in that game, Clowney showed some signs of life that I hadn't seen a whole lot of earlier in the season.
Yeah, well, two big plays that the Titans made on defense were in part because Clowney dominated his guy and disrupted the play. And this matters. So defensive coaches, you know, coaches count that big. That's big, man. That's that you just did something. You dominated your guy and you helped us make a play. Some people are like, well, he didn't make the play. Some people who shall remain nameless. You know, he sucks. He didn't make the play. No, those were two big plays. He had some other moments in there. I mean, look, you want him to get home. He had one big, TFL, I think on Hines, actually, which it was actually a stunning catch from behind. I thought he still does some stuff. You're like, man, that guy has a lot of ability. But then I thought he kind of fizzled out later in the game, too, like the whole team. But, yeah, he did some good things. And that was good, especially when you think about missing a game and the talk about him maybe having to have surgery and all that stuff. He looked good, and so maybe this extra rest this week will turn him into a playmaker Sunday. They could use it.
We've talked about the defense getting ready for this challenge with Baltimore, and I obviously one of the big things you've got to worry about is Lamar taking off and running on you. They did a good job in the playoffs at limiting that. We heard Wesley Woodyard talk about one of the keys is you got to make Lamar run sideways. What do you think he means by that? How, if you're the Titans defense, do you go about accomplishing getting Lamar to run to his side, not hurt you going down the field, and maybe not over pursue sometimes that you would want to do as a defense? Like, you're trying to get back there in the backfield and make the sack, but if you overrun it, that could be very damaging to your chances of keeping him in there and keeping him in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, the way I thought that they were, you know, it's assignment football with these guys in the run game, and then it's a different deal when he's, you know, back to pass. But I thought last year they were so aggressive in getting upfield on some of that stuff. Again, a lot of DBs. I mean, actually, Kamale Correa is a guy I remember really being good in that game. David Long is a guy who had to step in for Jayon Brown, really good in that game. There's two guys who, you know, won't be appearing for the Titans Sunday, but a lot of the DBs too really came up aggressively. And yeah, it's just basically if he's going north south, that means he's got a seam and now you're in trouble. And they didn't give him any seams last year. Easier said than done, but it seemed like just a terrific plan. And when you get them behind, you know, that's just it is different for them. They are very much a team that's dependent on score.
All right, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Titans defensive back Desmond King. Desmond, thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Desmond, what's it been like for you so far coming in and fitting in with your new team with the Titans? How would you say it's gone so far?
It's going well so far. Definitely fit in with a great group of guys. Feels like home. Coaching staff is great. Teammates are great. I just feel like, you know, it's a family here, and these guys love football, and that's something that I love, you know. It's the will to play the game and just having love for the game and not just, you know, what it is. So, I mean, I think that's what that's what's so strong around here is, you know, the love for the game of football.
Desmond, what about the Titans, you know, defensive system? Would you say, I know obviously that first week you think you told us, you know, you were just sitting in that chair all week on the Zoom calls in your hotel room. Not an easy transition. Yeah. Came out and played well. Now that you've been around it a little bit longer, and I'm sure you're more comfortable with it, how do you think you fit into it, and what do you think about this particular defense and maybe what it can do moving forward?
What I think about this defense is that, you know, the strength of it is that we got a lot of guys that can play different positions. You got Kenny, you got Kevin, you got me, you have Amari Hooker. You know, we got guys that can play any position in the secondary and guys that's versatile. So I think that's what's really strong about this defense. And then that's just the coaching staff. You know, these guys, they live on defense. They breathe on defense. And, you know, and they put us to the task to see if we're going to step up to the plate and achieve it, or is we going to go out there and you know, and BS it off. But, you know, I feel like I said about these guys, they love to be challenged. They love football, and that's what's so strong about it.
Titans corner Desmond King on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Desmond, obviously a big challenge this week in Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense. What's the key in your mind to defending a guy like Lamar Jackson that can hurt you in so many different ways?
One thing that I know for a fact, you know, he's very elusive. He's a playmaker. You know, he's a guy that's literally one broken tackle away from a touchdown. And, you know, and I think our goal this week is to capture him and not try to, you know, lay a big hit on him, because one-on-one open field, you know, we know what he can do. You know, he can make you miss. He can outrun you. You know, he's just that type of guy. But we're going to have to try to capture him. We're going to have to keep him in the pocket. Then let him out the pocket and force him to throw the ball. And I think that's what we're going to have to win, that, you know, them throwing the ball outside the numbers. And I think that's exactly where we're going to have to make this game come down to.
So, Desmond, yeah, without getting specifically into what, you know, the plan is this week, it is interesting to me that in the playoffs you were part of a really good plan that stopped Lamar Jackson in this offense. I know – after that win a couple years ago, you said after the game there was a formation you recognized it. You got a PBU on that. Yeah. Obviously, a really interesting, creative plan. And then last year the Titans had a plan that obviously worked in the postseason. If you look at those two, what the Titans did last year, and I don't know how familiar you are with it, you know, from watching it from afar, but what they did last year and then what you guys did 2 years ago, are there similarities? Are there common threads there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all comes down to stopping the run. And just doing that, I think that is what's going to force them to throw the ball, and that's not one of his strengths. So, you know, like I said, he's a playmaker. He's going to make his plays. We know he's an elusive guy. With the ball in his hands, he's very dangerous. So we just got to get the ball out of his hands and force everybody else around him to make plays.
Desmond, what's it been like for you so far playing for Mike Vrabel? Obviously, a guy that's very accomplished in the NFL as a player. We hear all the time about how smart he is from a football IQ standpoint as a coach. What's it been like playing for Vrabel so far?
It's his motivation. He talked to me every day, team meetings, he called me out, and just, you know, just to make sure that I'm on task. And that's something that, you know, you want out of any coach. A guy that's going to be on you, a guy that's going to test you, a guy that believes in you. And that's what's so amazing about it, you know, that he has so much, you know, faith in me, trust in me already, you know, even though I just came over here a couple weeks ago. You know, that's what you call a team coach. And he's just not, you know, picking out his favorite people.
So, Desmond, when you look back at the last game, you know, the Colts, and obviously a lot of things change in the second half of that game. But do you look at that and say that maybe you guys could have been more aggressive in that game, you know, with the way that Phillip Rivers was throwing the ball, taking so much short stuff in that game? Or is that too simplistic not for us on the outside?
I feel like, you know, we could have definitely cleaned some things up. There was some parts where we could have definitely made different adjustments, but, you know, they played a great game too, you know. They in the NFL as well.
you know, you're not going to get every win, but, you know, it's always room for improvement and room to, you know, make things different. But, you know, congrats to those guys, you know, getting the job done, especially with Phillip there, you know, very competitive guy as well. And like I said, you know, it comes down to, you know, us going out there on the field at that time.
Titans cornerback Desmond King has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Desmond, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us today, and good luck on Sunday.
No problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. Titans cornerback Desmond King, the newcomer on that Titans defense. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nashville SC center back Walker Zimmerman. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Cross comes in from Mukhtar. It's loose right on top, and it is! It's Walker Zimmerman!
You can run on for a long time. Run on.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A gigantic game coming up for Nashville SC on Friday. The first ever MLS playoff game in Nashville history as Nashville SC takes on Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And make sure you're listening. Later on in this segment, we'll have a chance for you to win a four-pack of tickets to that game tomorrow night. So make sure you're tuned in for that. It's our honor to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Walker Zimmerman, Nashville SC center back. Walker, first off, thanks for taking time to join us here today. Congratulations on the hardware, being named 2020 MLS Defender of the Year. You've come close to winning it before, but what's it feel like to earn this title now and win this award?
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be on here with you guys. You know, I'm really excited. Like you said, I've gotten close before, and on an individual level, I think every year you set your individual goals and your team goals, and this was certainly the top of the list for an individual goal. But that being said, I mean, huge credit to everyone around me, teammates, coaches. These kinds of awards don't happen unless everyone's on the same page working together. So shout out to them as well.
So, Walker, has your game – I mean, you've been close on this before. You've had a lot of success in this sport. Did your game come to a new level this season with Nashville SC?
Yeah, you know, I think I've definitely been on a steady progression throughout my career, which is the goal for anyone's career. And I think Nashville kind of highlights some of the qualities that I do have. And so being a little bit more of a defensive team maybe leads to having some different type of stat lines, you know what I mean? Different kinds of clearances, interceptions, tackles, all those things. So I'm sure that helps and brings out those attributes. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Excited to be a part of Nashville as a community and as a team. And while 2020 has been crazy, this was a little beacon of hope mixed on in there.
Nashville SC center back Walker Zimmerman on the line with us, of course, winner of the 2020 MLS Defender of the Year Award. Walker, take me back to when you first learned you were coming to Nashville. What was going through your head then, and how has it lived up to what you thought maybe it would be when it was announced you were coming to Nashville?
Oh, it was so crazy. I had no idea, completely out of nowhere. And, you know, I guess the good thing was when I was talking to the GM of LAFC, and, you know, it's like, we decided to trade you, and I was hanging on to every word, waiting to see where he traded me to. And then he said Nashville. And I was like, looked at my wife, threw up my hands like, okay, that's not bad at all. You know, that's a city I think I'd really like to live in and be a part of. And it certainly hasn't let me down in that aspect. We've loved living here. We've loved being a part of the community. And obviously restrictions are amongst us. But we're just ready to dive in and hopefully get back to some normalcy here in Nashville. But it's been great. Teammates have been phenomenal. Coaching staff's been awesome, and certainly excited to be a part of this thing for a few more years.
So what's the key to this match Friday, Walker? If there's one thing that has to happen for you guys to advance, what would it be? Other than score, you know, score more than the other team.
Right. You know, I think for us it's going in with a lot of confidence, knowing how well we've done at home. And you know, playoff games, yes, they are different. There's different intensity for sure. But I think just maintaining a focus and concentration and confidence of, yeah, yes, it is a playoff game, but we are a very good team at home. Can we dictate the game and how it's played and make sure we don't make any big mistakes and capitalize on their mistakes. And I think if we can do that, we'll walk away with a win.
Walker, it's been very interesting to watch your team and your group from afar this year, because you mentioned 2020 and what a ride it's been and everything you've had to go through, from COVID to the tornadoes here in Nashville earlier this year, the season being put on pause, the MLS's back tournament not being able to put a part of that. I mean, it's just been such a roller coaster this year from afar. What's this journey been like for your team from your perspective, navigating through all the different challenges you've had to go through this year to get to this point where you're heading into the playoffs?
It's been difficult for sure. I mean, and that's why I think we're very proud of this year and what we've accomplished, because, you know, not only is it difficult to come in as an expansion team and, you know, be able to not only make the playoffs but host a playoff game and put yourself in that position, but, you know, it's just a testament to all the hard work. You know, we basically had 3 preseasons, which, if you don't know, preseason in soccer basically means you're just running around a field and doing sprints and getting your heart rate up to its max heart rate, like, every day. And it's not fun. No one enjoys it. If they do, they're sick. And so we were out there, you know, 3 separate times, our initial preseason. And, you know, season got put on hold. We came back to get ready for the MLS's back tournament. And we had to quarantine and not play in that tournament, come back home, take some days off, do it all again. And a lot of that is done not even with a group. That's individual training. That's in small group training. And so all of that just means guys put in the work and they stayed focused and they concentrated on our goals for 2020. And here we are now hosting the playoff game tomorrow.
So usually teams that have success have some level of good chemistry. It seems that that's true of Nashville SC. I wrote a little bit, Walker, about the socially distanced team Olympics that you had at your house, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to brag now about your gum spitting, which apparently is world class.
World renowned at this point. You know, you asked me, you know, in the interview the other day, if I had any special traits or things that people might not know about me. And I was trying to think. I was like, man, like, that's always the hardest question in an interview. And then I was like, you know, I take a lot of pride in my ability to spit gum accurately and with some distance. And I think, you know, a lot of that is growing up, just picking out a trash can and just, you know, across the room, whether it's in school or whatever. Thankfully, I had some lenient teachers who would permit me to do that. But we had an Olympics day over at my house, and we had a line drawn on the ground. You got to stand behind it, no running start, and you just got to lean back and spit that piece of gum. And tell you what, a lot of it is the formation. You got to get it, you know, very circular, round. That way, when it hits the ground, it gets a nice little roll after it. But certainly, just the ability to launch that thing was there for me on that particular day, at least. And I walked away with the gold medal for that event.
Yeah, you don't want to be cocky, right? It's
A lot of it's technique, and so people might have more power there, but a lot of it's technique, and that's just training. And I will say it probably helped that I was the host, so I got to try out all these events before everyone came over. So they made sure I was aware of that as well.
I'm sure that they did. Nashville SC center back Walker Zimmerman on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Walker, I'm interested to get your viewpoint on Gary Smith, his ability to keep this group together, to get you guys to this point where you're hosting a playoff game. What have you made of Gary Smith, his coaching style, and what do you think's made him so effective for this group as its leader?
Well, Gary's been great, and he's had, you know, some of these guys from the USL, and he's taken a new group of new players and gotten them all on the same page. And, you know, he has a lot of experience. He's won the MLS Cup before, which is ultimately our goal now. That was in 2010, but there's a lot of things that, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you have to get right in order to be able to win an MLS Cup. And so he's been great. He's a very organized coach in the sense that he knows how his teams want to play. And we've kind of adapted that style. And at the end of the day, he's put together a roster along with Mike Jacobs that are guys who are very competitive and experienced and want to win. And so winning your individual battles, winning collectively, and I think we got a bunch of guys who got a lot of grit, and that's certainly going to come in handy once you hit the playoffs.
Okay, so Walker's wife, Sally, is from the Baltimore area, correct?
She is.
So this has made Walker a Ravens fan. Ooh. Now, I never asked you this, but is that because, as you know, Walker's from Lawrenceville, Georgia? So is this, at some point, did you have to give up on the Falcons? Is that part of the Ravens fandom?
I think it was more the Falcons kind of gave up on me. You
know? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I still root for the Falcons just because, you know, you have your whole life kind of thing. But, you know, she has personal ties to the Ravens. Her dad works in the organization and has so for 20-odd years. And so now I'm all in. I'm die hard. It's been fun now that Lamar is there at the helm. Certainly that Titans game last year was kind of crazy to watch. I mean, hats off to the Titans and Vrabel for getting that done. But if they meet again, unfortunately, I'm still going to have to go with the Ravens. But
okay.
I do prefer the Titans now if they're not playing those two teams, you know, just supporting the new hometown team.
All right, I respect that. I do too. I appreciate
that. You
got
to stick to your guns, Walker. That's good.
Now,
honestly, though, I also have such a loyalty to my fantasy team. And so I will root against the Ravens if it needs to be done. I'm on a Monday night, and I'm down points, and I need something to happen. I'll root for my fantasy team.
I respect that too. Now, I have another Titans related question for you, because, of course, they're. Great punter Brett Kern right now is hurt. Your older brother Dawson was Clemson's punter from 2008, 2011. You are very close to the Clemson program because of that. My question is, what is Dawson doing now? Because the Titans need a punter.
I tell you what. So he was unbelievable. He ended up going actually to Falcons preseason after his senior year of college. Didn't end up making the final roster. And he's actually... He teaches English school in Atlanta, and he also continues to do punting lessons with one-on-one kicking. So he's a very good punting coach. I don't know if he still has it in him in his body to be able to step out there, but if you need to get it pinned inside the 10-yard line, I think he can do the job.
All right. Absolutely. That's key.
That is key. Nashville SC center back Walker Zimmerman has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Walker, congratulations on winning 2020 MLS Defender of the Year, and good luck tomorrow against Miami. We'll be rooting for y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Walker. Great stuff there from Walker Zimmerman. And you can have a chance to go to that game right now. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you can win a 4-pack of tickets to the first ever MLS playoff game in Nashville as Nashville SC takes on Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.